You're listening to WWBC Cocoa Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. All you have to do is hit WWBC. You'll see a little icon that says Listen Live. You hit that, and there you go. You can listen anywhere on God's magnificent planet to our show. So our show here, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, is heard every Monday from 1 to 2. Usually my co-host Ellen is here and our friend Allie. But today Ellen had to take a day off, so I'm by myself with my guest, Mr. Kerry Fink is here, and we've got Danny running our board. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is a fun, unscripted, educational, and very informative show. We give out valuable information, whether someone is looking for information to vote, whether someone is wanting to learn how to save money, how to invest money. Maybe somebody wants to know what the stock market is all about. Some folks want to learn how to buy a house, how to have a mortgage, what entails having a mortgage. Or some people just want to learn about nonprofits and education and educate themselves so they can be part of the solution, leaving a good footprint for the next generation right here on planet Earth. Danny, I think, but Ellen not here, I'm going to have a great show because Mr. Fink here seems to have some information about radio shows. So our guest today would be Kerry Fink. He's the executive director of Seniors Helping Seniors, and he is in studio looking mighty dapper, I might add. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you. It's a real blessing to be here, and thank you for inviting us in.
You are so welcome. And for our listeners who are tuning in, as you all know, I am a long-term care nurse, and I've been one for over 33 years. So the mission of Seniors Helping Seniors in Brevard, which is to improve the quality of life for Brevard's senior population through information, education, and resources, is near and dear to my heart because I live it every day of my life. Our first call-in guest, we just put out an APB for our friend Katrina Shaddix. She is the executive director of Beers Warriors United, and she'll be calling in a little bit to talk about the safety of beers here in Florida, what we can do to secure trash cans, planting beer gardens for the animals, restoring the wildlife, and what she's done as an advocate for animals. It's just a beautiful story. So in the meantime, you can look at our BEAR Warriors United online or on Facebook. But before she calls in, today's a very important day. It is Memorial Day, Mr. Kerry, and we were just talking about that, you and I and Danny, and that freedom. The freedom that we enjoy to speak, to have a job, to drive, to think. The freedom is not really free at all. So many beautiful souls sacrifice their lives for us. And we just want to honor those brave souls and for their families who are left behind, just say thank you.
Right? Yeah, you know, I heard a quote actually yesterday, and it was somebody was describing that we don't often, you know, we think of Memorial Day as like we're going to have a nice cookout and just have a nice day off, and that's good. But what we really need to do is, as you're saying, is think about the sacrifices that others made so we could be here to enjoy that. And they said that one of two things happens, actually, right, is that when somebody is in serving and they lose their life in the service of our country, not only do they lose their life, but they also lost their future as well. And so I think as we think of those people that we know and we want to honor today, we want to think all the way through all of that. It's a great day for us to honor those who have served. And, you know, we were talking, our president and founder, Joe Steckler, retired Navy captain. Everybody who served, it's what makes it possible for us to enjoy the freedoms we have.
Right. And you know, Danny nicely decorated our studio with these flags that families has given our studio. These are flags of the fallen. And we're not sure if the families are still alive and around, but they're sitting, the flags are in front of us, Carrie, and it really makes you feel very spiritual.
Yeah.
And connected, because the flag in front of me, the young soldier in this one, he took pictures of where he served. And you could see for our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, one of the photographs is the young man holding his rifle with two friends sitting with him on, I'm not sure if it's sand or just dirt, but he's looking out and he's looking at what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure whoever snapped that photograph of them back then, yeah, that's right. They didn't intend for us to have it here in front of us, but it does make you feel as though a lot of people run their mouth and they say things, but this country made it possible so that we could have that freedom of speech and freedom of religion and liberty, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the other comment I wanted to add into this conversation is, you know, each one of these flags or each one of these veterans that we run into, there's a story. It's fascinating if you ever sit down and take the time to speak with a veteran about their service. You know, I'll make it a point to tell somebody, because they'll come up with their military cap on, and we all say thank you for your service, because what you did makes it possible for us to enjoy this. And it's fascinating when you start to hear the story of what they actually did and the sacrifices that they made along the way to make sure that we can enjoy a day like
today. Right. It's not really about hot dogs and hamburgers and just bathing suits, folks. Although we want you to enjoy it, I implore all our young people to read up about it.
Absolutely.
And understand why we celebrate today. So on that note, my friend Katrina Shaddix is on the phone. And like we said before, she's the executive director of Bear Warriors United. And she's done so much for the animals. She spent her 50th birthday taking care of animals. And I just a woman near and dear to my heart. So Katrina, thank you for taking the time to call in.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yes, and you know, I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw where you persevered in a lawsuit that you had filed so long ago to protect the wildlife, the environment, and the animals. But before we go to that, I'd like to reintroduce you to our listeners. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a warrior for animals and the environment.
Well, gosh, it started long, long time ago. My family moved here from Louisiana in 1940, so I'm a second-generation native, not only native Floridian, but native Seminole County resident, where I still live today, and making my son a third-generation native. And growing up, my uncles and cousins, my granny, all, you know, we were always in the woods looking for deer, looking at tracks, fishing in the St. John's River. And we just grew up, you know, knowing that nature was a big part of our life, not only a big part of our life to enjoy, but that it provides the quality of life. If we don't have a healthy environment, then, you know, we're not healthy. And when it comes to water, you know, we all drink the same water. And although I used to fish in the St. John's River and many other water bodies in Florida, I wouldn't eat a fish from any of our freshwater bodies at this point. And, you know, Florida is number one in the entire nation for most polluted lakes and surface waters. And that's just unacceptable. So from a very young age, I had an appreciation of nature. I knew how valuable it was to have a healthy environment. And I just happened to fall into, you know, my career where I can do what's, you know, near and dear to my heart. I know a lot of people can't claim that, and I know I'm fortunate and I'm lucky to be able to do what I do, and you know, definitely want to pay tribute to the veterans on Memorial Day, because, you know, if they hadn't done what they did, I wouldn't be able to do what I do today.
That's right. And I think as we get older and bolder and wiser, we all learn from history, we learn from education, we learn from the opportunities that are, you know, that presents itself to us. We learn a lot from all the people that came before us and gave their lives for us. And like we said earlier, their souls may they rest in peace, because none of us would be able to do what we do in our everyday life if it wasn't for those who gave their lives for us.
That's absolutely correct. So I'm glad that y'all did bring up earlier that today isn't about barbecuing and hot dogs and hamburgers. It's about remembering the men and women who gave their lives for this country. And it was an invaluable service that we all benefit from today.
Well, you know what they say in life, right? We learn from education and opportunities. Those two words are so, so, so important to just everyday life and finding a life with purpose. And so you, my friend, Katrina, have found a life with purpose. You care about the Indian River Lagoon. You care about the septic tanks, if they're leaking, if they're discharging dangerous chemicals into our waterways. You care about the animals. And you decided single-handedly that you have an answer to keep people safe from the beer, the B-E-A-R. With my accent, I don't want people to think it's beer that they're drinking. So, so you decided one day that people were calling the bears a nuisance. And you said, they're not really a nuisance if you get to know them, if you get to know their habitat, if you understand that we are destroying their habitat to put houses for humans, where are they supposed to go, right?
Exactly. And this actually started back in 2015. The state of Florida had a bear hunt for the first time in 21 years, and it was an absolute travesty. There were dozens and dozens of lactating mothers that were killed, leaving bear cubs orphaned. It was just a two-day slaughter fest. And, you know, I vowed, that was the first time I ever saw a bear in the wild in Florida, and I've been here my whole life. I just turned 55, never saw a bear in the many, many years that I spent in the forest. And the day that I went to a hunt station to, unfortunately, document the bears that had been killed, I saw an adolescent bear in the woods, and this bear and I locked eyes. And I know that this bear had just probably lost his mother in the hunt, in the two-day hunt. And I made a vow. I said, you know, I will, to my dying day, I will fight to make sure there's never a bear slaughter like this again. And in fighting future bear hunts, which we've been able to stop the state from having bear hunts all the way up to this year, I was at an Orange County Commission meeting supporting the county passing a bear trash ordinance, which was to require people to do specific things with their trash not to attract bears and to be able to enforce that. And while I was there, my enemy at the time, FWC, Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, who had that hunt, approached me and said, hey, we want you to do a ride-along so you can see what we have to deal with when people complain about bears in the trash. So I did that ride-along. We went to a house. This woman had dozens of attractants, unsecured trash, unsecured chickens and rabbits, and a broken garage door, a broken refrigerator in the garage. I mean, it was a haven for bear attractants. And she wanted the mother and the cub that came there every night to be killed. And the FWC officer said, we're not going to do that because you're the one that's attracted them to the property.
Yeah, how about securing your stuff first?
Exactly. Yeah. And so the woman said, well, if you're not going to kill him, then I will. And the FWC officer said, you will not. You will go to jail. It's illegal to kill a bear. So they told her all of the violations that she, you know, had on her property. And then we spent that afternoon putting hot wire around her chicken coops to secure the chickens. Because once a bear or any wildlife touch a hot wire and get that shock, they never come back. So, at that night, when I was talking to the FWC officer, she said, you know, if you really want to save bears, don't worry about a bear hunt. We learned our lesson about that. Help us secure trash. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? She goes, well, we have to kill the bears that are labeled nuisances for going into the trash. So she said, we're getting ready to kill two bears in Lake County in this elderly community. There's two bears that come in to eat from the trash. If you can help us secure their trash cans with straps, then, you know, we can save those bears. I said, okay, I'll get volunteers together. So I called her 2 weeks later. I said, I have 60 people ready to help secure those trash cans with the straps. She goes, well, I have bad news. The FWC can't pay for those straps I told you about. I said, well, let me do a GoFundMe. So I raised a couple thousand dollars in a couple days, got the material for the straps. We retrofit and secured every single trash can in that community with our bear straps that Jim DeRocher designed. And we were able to save those two bears. From there, I created my nonprofit organization. And since 2016, I've given out over 20,000 free bear straps, and which has helped over 5,000.
A simple fix, right? And that was a simple thing, so that you
super
just
simple.
Secure the trash can. And you said it cost about, what, $20 at the end of it?
It's about $20. I do more than just the straps. I give out the straps. I give out educational literature on how to peacefully coexist, and I also give out bear whistles. And this package cost me about $20. But it saves people each about $250 from buying a bear-proof trash can. Those are very expensive. Some models are cumbersome and are defective. So these straps work. They fix the problem quickly, inexpensively. I mean, how much cheaper than you can you get them free? And it saves bear lives. And
most importantly, Katrina, it made the residents feel secure. You can't put a price on safety and security.
Exactly. And once all of the trash cans were secured, the bears stopped coming into the neighborhood. And it's about a 2 to 4 week transition. Once everyone secures the trash, the bears go away. And since then, we created a NAY Bearhood Watch Program. Instead of the B-O-R in neighborhood, it's B-E-A-R. And what we do is, one, educate the communities to peacefully coexist and what attractants they have. Two, we help everyone secure their trash. And then three, we plant these things called bear food gardens. And we call them bear food gardens because what we're actually doing is restoring wildlife habitat. And that sounds like a huge endeavor that could discourage some people from participating. It just sounds like too big of a project to take on. But what we do is plant native bear food plants, like the native blueberries, blackberries, and the surrounding green spaces or conservation areas that surround these urban sprawl neighborhoods. And so we are putting the native food sources in the woods where we want the bears to stay, and we're securing the trash cans and the urban sprawl developments where we don't want the bears to go.
So basically, they're hungry. Like, I mean, any human being, my mother used to say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Feed him. And I think the bear is no different, right? So talk a little bit about the coyote, because when they trap the coyotes too, some of these traps are also killing the bear as well.
It is, yes. And this was one of the lawsuits that I initiated against Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, because they permit these traps. And most people don't know about these traps. There's snare traps, which is the wire snares that go around the neck. There's the steel jaw traps, which clamp onto a leg or other body part. And there's cone bear traps, which will catch an otter or a beaver in the river and break his back while drowning them at the same time. They're especially horrific. And the FWC permits these traps. What I'm trying to do is get them to prohibit the use of these traps, obviously. And this started because I found out a bear was killed with a trap that was put out by a coyote. So we have these trapping companies like Critter Getters that are getting paid by HOAs and private citizens to trap a coyote. And what they are giving the impression to the people paying for their service is that they're going to trap this coyote and take him to this wonderful place in the state forest where he'll live forever happily. And that's not what happened. They kill the coyote when they get them in the traps. But what is happening, because these are indiscriminate traps, they catch and kill and maim everything. They are catching our cats and dogs in these traps. And when the trappers go to the trap to see if the coyote's in there, our cats and dogs are in there. And the trapping industry motto is, don't let Fluffy go home with a trap injury and shoot shovel shut up. So they kill our cats and dogs, they bury them, and then the kicker, they tell the HOA and the homeowners that it's the coyotes that have killed our cats and dogs, when they're the ones that shot them and buried them.
Now, that's a little bit on the dishonest side, my goodness. Now, and one of the other things you care about deeply, and you've been doing a lot of research about the discharges from the septic tanks and the sewers and stuff, is the manatees. We all remember when the manatees died because so many people were not paying attention to the waterways. So talk to us a little bit about the the management and the water districts and your work with that?
Oh, sure, yeah. So about 2 years ago, manatees started dying off in huge amounts due to starvation. And feds claim that to be an unusual mortality event. It's still going on. It's just not getting the press that it did when it first happened. So we still have manatees that are starving to death, and they're starving to death because we have overdevelopment causing additional stress on our water treatment facilities, and we have thousands of septic tanks that have been leaching phosphorus and nitrogen into the Indian River Lagoon for decades. And the sort of the final nail in the coffin was the city of Titusville's water treatment plant spilled over 7 million gallons of raw sewage into the northern Indian River Lagoon in December 2020. About 2 to 3 weeks after that, we started seeing the newspaper reports about manatees starving to death. So it snowballed there. It's still a crisis. It's still going on. It's going to take about 10 to 20 years before the Indian River Lagoon comes back to life. And that's if we take drastic measures, which the state is not taking the drastic measures that are needed. But in addition to human sewage from overdevelopment killing our manatees and killing their main food source in the Indian River Lagoon, which is seagrass, we also have the FWC, Water Management District, our cities and counties spraying deadly herbicide onto manatee food, their hydrilla and hyacinth. So we have our government poisoning the food and the home and an endangered species, which is a violation of Section 9 of the Endangered Species Act. So the manatees can't catch a break. They're getting the sewage pollution and starvation in the Indian River Lagoon, and then like in the St. Johns River, Lake Okeechobee, they have massive amounts of these herbicide chemicals being dumped into their home and killing their food source. And the kicker to that is our taxpayers. Taxpayers in Florida paid $17 million in 2017 for these herbicides. Some of them, we paid money to the communist government of China. So we have such huge problems for our wildlife right now, and it's not being covered. So I really, really appreciate you, you know, giving this platform to help our wildlife and to help the environment that they live in, because when we help them and when we have clean water, it's better for us. So, you know, we're all connected.
That's right. And, you know, one of the missions that you've talked to us about and you promote is how to coexist, not just with the bear population, but also with the manatees. I mean, also with doing what's right for the environment. How can we get more people to care? We were speaking at the beginning of the show, just before we went on air, about so many people have the ability to give back, right? They're finished with their corporate job, and they're finished with their nursing job and whatever, and they've got a couple of hours per month to give back, and they just wouldn't do that. So how do we get more people to educate themselves, have kitchen table topic talks in their homes, and talk about issues like you just said, the herbicides, you have a septic tank, you haven't had it checked for a long time. You know, do your part so that us humans can coexist with the animals.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and a lot of people don't participate because they simply don't know about this problem. I talk to so many people out in public, I'm like, what do you mean the manatees are starving to death? Even though it's been in national news and in our newspapers, most people still don't know about the tragedy of our environment and our wildlife in Florida, because a lot of people are going to work. They're trying to survive. They're working that 9-to-5 just to get enough money to pay bills. So it's hard for them to focus on saving someone else when they're just trying to save themselves and their children. And that's understandable. But where I come in and you come in is having these conversations on the radio and for media to get a hold of this. And what I'm hoping with our lawsuit is that, you know, not only am I suing the state of Florida for permitting the sewage pollution that starved the manatees to death, I'm looking for alternative solutions to clean up the sewage pollution. And was lucky, I was contacted by this guy in Crystal River of a company called Reovation. And this is an industry changer, an industry disruptor, and a game changer, because it cleans up, it reduces and eliminates the nitrogen and phosphorus in septic tanks quicker and faster and cheaper. And it's amazing. I actually lobbied for this company to do pilot projects to our governor. I lobbied this past legislation, because when you can fix the pollution problem and save the state over $1 billion doing it, that's a win-win.
Right.
And,
well, you know what happens a lot is when people have red eyes and they're sneezing all day, they'll say, oh, my God, it's something coming from the lagoon. Then people pay attention. Oh. So unless you hit them in the pocketbook, they don't really, they're not responsible. So many people just, they'll drive down on the Merritt Island, on the trail here, what we call Route 3, and they'll smell that funk coming from the Indian, from the lagoon. But they won't stop to say, well, let me just Google this and see what's going on, you know? Once you're educated on certain matters about the environment, your brain, if you're alive and well and care, it springs into action, right?
Yeah. And I think people will pay attention once they are personally inconvenienced, like you said, whether they're financially inconvenienced or whether they get sick or whether they turn on that sink water and go, whoo, what is this putrid smell? People have to be affected firsthand to get them to care. And I hate that it takes that for people to get sick and for people to be cost, you know, millions of dollars to the state. But I think it's an unnecessary evil to convince people to take action and that we do have a problem and that they can help. And each person in their everyday life can help by doing little things like not using fertilizer, pesticides, and herbicides in their yard, which gets washed into our waterways, all the way to contacting their state lawmakers to say, hey, this is a problem. Please pass a bill to fix it, or please allocate money to fix it. And the state has begun to allocate millions of dollars to this problem, but it's just a drop in the bucket to what we need. So I'm hoping my lawsuit will get them to fix the problem quicker than the schedule that they're on now, because we don't have that long to save the Indian River Lagoon. And
well, you know, it comes down to personal responsibility. Even if you have a dog, please pick up your dog waste, right? So before we leave, we've got 1 minute left. Give us the website in case someone wants to donate or partner with you or help you to give out these packages that includes the straps for the trash can and all that.
Oh, definitely. We have tons of straps to give out, educational literature. If anyone could email me at bearwarriorsunited@gmail.com. And let me know your address. I will personally deliver or mail out the bear care packages that have bear whistles, bear straps, and educational literature. I do have a Facebook page, Bear Warriors United, and I post lots of calls to action on there. My cell phone, I don't mind giving out, 407-702-3576. If anyone needs help with their local government and their personal life or how to plan a native-friendly yard, I can help with all sorts of things because, like I said, we're all connected, and having a healthy environment is having a healthy population of people as well.
Well, and it's all about leaving that good footprint, right? Because at some point, we're all going to leave the planet, and we're hoping to leave it a better place than we found it for our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And the next generation. And the only way to do that is to learn how to coexist. And my guest in studio is a man named Mr. Kerry Fink, and he's shaking his head. I think he's really interested in everything you've said. Anything to add before we go off air, Mr. Kerry?
You know, I was thinking as you introduced this topic, I was thinking, like, I had no idea. Fascinating to get this study and understand what the challenges are, because most of us just don't know that, you know?
So we just got to get the word out there. And today, Sita, you helped do that. So the bears and the manatees and I appreciate you today for what you've done.
Well, thank you, my friend. And we are going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back with Mr. Kerry Fink, who's the executive director of Seniors Helping Seniors right here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you so much for calling in, my good friend, Katrina Shaddix. And I will look forward to hearing from you again.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be right back.
9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
Welcome Mattress to MedFast and Furniture. Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We just had an excellent segment with my good friend Katrina Shaddix, and she is the executive director of Bear Warriors United. B-E-A-R, not B-E-E-R. But anyways, our second segment, as usual, we are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over the world. Just type in WWBC and hit that little button that says Listen Live on the web. Our second segment is with Mr. Kerry Fink, and his topic is something that I could probably talk about every day, anytime, with no information in front of me because I live it. He is the executive director of Seniors Helping Seniors. And he's sitting here in studio with Danny and I, and we're going to have a really nice conversation about the seniors in Brevard and what you do, Mr. Fink.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to be here today on behalf of Joe Steckler, our president and founder, and Nancy Deerdorf, who is our operations director. You know, I was thinking how much I enjoyed the first segment of the show because our operations director has a saying, how do you know what you don't know? And so what was so illuminating hearing the first part of the show was just didn't know all this stuff because you're not exposed to it. And that's part of our mission in the Helping Seniors of Brevard world is we always talk about it like this. And it was so funny talking with you before the show, Sita, to hear your background. You know more of this than I do. You could probably just interview and say everything I'm about to say. But, you know, for most of us, for all of us, aging is on the job training, right?
Right.
You know, there is no... The best you can do is study how people are doing it successfully and try to follow that, because I've talked to Joe, who's 89. He's the guy that started Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation, got they call him the Joe's Clubs to these days. And when I met him, he said, Kerry, he said, this was like 2011 when he was just getting Helping Seniors of Brevard organized and running. And he said, Kerry, he said, you know, I've discovered along the way that seniors have a lot of problems that go well beyond just if there's a memory issue involved. And he said, I really want to create an organization that's going to educate people and guide them. So we call it senior navigation is what we try to do. We try to help people maneuver through the things that you might run into as you age. And I'm sure,
and it's frustrating growing older and bolder and wiser. It's not like everybody think for some people, right? It used to be that we would buy, you know, lipsticks and dresses and high heel shoes. And as you get older, you find yourself buying hair coloring. You find yourself looking for eyeglasses. Some people have to look for hearing aids. It gets different, right? And we function. We find a way.
Yeah.
So what is your background? But Mr. Joe Steckler was one of my neighbors in Tortoise Island as well. And I really, really, I hold him in such high esteem for what he's done to bring awareness to Alzheimer's and dementia and growing older and all these things. Because, boy, nobody's getting out of this planet alive, right?
Right.
And some of us die young and some grow old gracefully with disease. And he recognized that and he wanted to do something. So how did you get involved? You were in the corporate world, I imagine, doing other things. And then you got into this nonprofit.
Absolutely. My background is basically media world. We've done a lot in Christian media. And I met Joe as he was putting together the Helping Seniors of Brevard organization. He said, Kerry, I want to do something that's going to help let people know steps that they can take. Because he's big about this thing called developing an aging plan. In other words, we live in Florida, so we get a hurricane plan, right? Does not mean we want a hurricane. It means that we want to be prepared in case something's bearing down on us. And he said, Kerry, so half of my battle is getting people aware of this. And he said, I want to do the media like I used to do in the Brevard Alzheimer's days. I want to get radio, TV, all these things going so that as families are hitting this, they can age as well as their particular circumstances will allow them to. And so from my background, both my wife and I were caregivers for our mom. So this was kind of like close to home for us. We said, Joe, we're in this all the way. How can we help? So for a number of years, I served really since the inception of the organization as media director. And we've tried to do everything we can because we live in this crazy county, as you know, 72 miles north to south. And so a lot of times media is really the only way you can reach everybody in every corner of the county. It's like why you do the radio show. You can talk to people literally all throughout Central Florida on this big signal. And so the point is, what we want to do is get information in the hands of people so that they can create their own aging plan. And as we were navigating the things, I'm talking about myself and my wife, we're navigating all this with our moms because we're trying to do the best we can. We think we're smart, but as you know, you're running into these things for the first time and you're trying to do all these like searches online and trying to figure things out. And what if there is an organization that can provide some navigation and help you? So we do that a couple of different ways in the Helping Seniors world. We have our, it's a free call, 321-473-7770. That's our senior information line. Last year, Sita, we took more than 5,400 calls connected to seniors and their families trying to navigate everything from housing, medical, transportation, legal, financial, and then we also do all the media because we're trying to reach people and get them to plan ahead, not just react.
That's the trick, is to plan ahead. I remember buying my long-term care insurance when I was 24 years old.
Wow.
Again, because I was educated on it. And I am a long-term care nurse. And so I saw the need. And, you know, some of us, we chat a lot. We speak with families. We speak with their nieces and nephews. We speak with neighbors. And you'd be surprised how many people tell us their stories about their children living in a different state. Some of them had no children. Some of them had nieces and nephews that they depended on, and then they passed away. And so that crucial thing is planning ahead. And I'm glad you touched on that.
You know, we call it, Joe has always called it an aging plan. And like I said, to get people to get that in their mind, we say, like, we live in Florida. We understand hurricane season. We understand. They tell us, what's your plan? So this is the same idea. We kind of euphemistically now for a couple of years have been calling it, let's get your ducks in a row, okay? It's so much easier. I can tell you, Nancy has 33 years registered nurse experience. When she picks up that phone, she pretty much knows if there's a solution, which way to turn to try to navigate somebody towards a solution. And I'm always amazed. We're a small organization, but I always call us the little engine that could, because I am surprised how often we're successful at making that difference. But Nancy, when she gets that person on the phone, it's usually a crisis. Most often it's a crisis. And so options are limited. But if you can get in front of that through the education part that Joe established early on, the radio, the TV, we publish center section
and print.
Of seniors.
You guys do a lot of print as well.
Exactly. The point is, we have to get information because, like we just said, it's on-the-job training. And if we can help somebody get ahead on this, it's going to be terrific. So we call it, let's help you get your ducks in a row. Because if we can talk to you before the problem exists, you have a whole lot more options than you do if you're right in the middle of it. We're still going to try to help you, but more options is more better, always.
Right. And you know what I like about this, too, is it's not only for people for elder care. You all do speak with people with other issues as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are people that are disabled that would call that site and get some information.
100%. You know, I was going to say to you, one of the interesting things is when we break out who calls us, you know, a lot of times it's a senior themselves who's trying to navigate a particular situation. Lately, in this county, it's been a huge problem about housing crisis. Somebody's lived in a certain place for like 15, 20 years, paid their rent faithfully. The property got sold, new owners looking for a whole different financial return, and the senior gets caught in the crosshairs. And so we're seeing a huge senior homeless problem. But then we also see other things that people are able to access and find paths through. So we call it, again, we call it, let's help you get your ducks in a row so we can plan ahead and think how to work it. And then the second corollary that we really have almost feel like we need to shout it, trademark it, post it on top of a big building is, we call us, don't try this on your own. There are so many good resources
to help
here.
To navigate you.
Right.
And what do we have? It's 110,000 people around that approximately, over 65. In the largest, Brevard is one of the counties that has the largest growing number of elderly people.
You said it so well. I use the statistic, if you walk down the street with a clipboard, 1 in 4 people you meet is going to be over the age of 65. And as you know, whether you like it or not, the day you turn 50, you're going to get a little birthday card from AARP, and they're going to call you a senior. So if you want to use 50 plus as a metric, that means half of us in our county are over the age of 50. In fact, this is one of the...
And we're 24th in the nation.
Yes.
Nationally for people growing older, bolder, and wiser.
And here's another battle cry kind of thing that we talk about a lot. Look, we love kids. Okay, we've raised kids. They were here in Brevard County. Great place to raise kids. We love our kids so much in this county that we raised we voted in that we want to pay an extra half cent every time we go to the store on every dollar we spend, because we want our kids to have the absolute best schools they could possibly have here in Brevard County. That's admirable. We have less kids under 18 than we have seniors over 65.
Wow.
So that should be a wake-up call to all of us to say, are we doing enough to look after seniors? I think Joe did some research, and he wanted to find out how much this half-cent sales tax had raised. And so I think the number that he shared with me was over 3 years. Are you ready for this? Our half-cent got the school system $161 million.
Wow.
Could you imagine if we had $161 million or something similar to throw into the challenge that we're facing right now with senior housing, senior homelessness, and all these issues that are there? So again, we got to look after our kids. The Bible's clear, widows and orphans, right? So we're always good about the kids, but are we doing enough for the senior citizens? They're the ones who've paid their taxes the whole time. They're the ones who have tried
to... They paved the way.
Exactly.
I think people forget that the seniors did pave the way, and we have to be patient with them. We have to be there for them. But there are many safeguards that we can put in place while we age, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the safeguards. And you touched a little bit about education. An educated nation is a strong nation.
Yes.
An educated nation is a well-informed nation. And yes, we should invest in our children. Because when you get older and somebody is drawing your blood, you don't want them to do 6 pokes before they get that that blood, right?
Right.
You want to have kids who went to Brevard Public Schools and went to phlebotomy school, or you might want to have a nurse that went to college, or like myself, or you might want to have a physician, x-ray tech. These are people that are going to be serving us in the business of aging as we age.
Yes.
And you've got to think about those children, reading, writing, arithmetic, and bringing out the best, right?
Yeah.
But what are some of the safeguards for the elderly that as you talk to people, you see?
Well, so knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that as Nancy Deardorff, our operations director, says, how do you know what you don't know? So people call up, and again, we talked about the problem is we get calls from the seniors themselves. We get calls from the adult children of seniors who may not necessarily even live in the area, but they're concerned because they visited mom or dad, and mom or dad isn't quite able to manage as well, and they're kind of frustrated because I'm sitting up in New York State. I don't know who to call. I don't know where to begin. I just know they can't manage this on their own anymore. So we get those calls all the time. And then let's talk about how fast Florida's growing. Everybody wants to, they've all learned the secret. We love the sunshine. We love being in Florida. It's a great place to be. So everybody's moving here. So we get so many people who may have had things set up, maybe up where they came from, but then they come to Florida, they need these resources. So the point is really that we have to make sure that we're getting the information in the hands of people on each of these topics. So we actually have broken it, CETA, into 7 different areas that we talk about in the aging plan. So those areas include things like legal. And you may say, well, you know, I'm not wealthy. I don't have an estate, blah, blah, blah. So everybody, there's certain documents everybody needs to have. And you know, because you've been around it, you talk to any elder law attorney, somebody comes in, they've had a stroke and they can't sign or do paperwork. Now it's an even bigger problem.
We all
problem.
Know that drawer that people have at home, or that folder, or that little plastic bag with everything, or some people may have a little suitcase.
Yes.
But there is a spot that they put everything from the title of the car to the information about life insurance and their home.
Yes.
Birth certificates. People still have those.
Yes. Yes.
Because they don't scan. A lot of the elderly don't scan things. Well, now they do, right? But you have to have somebody that you trust that know where everything is.
Yeah, and see, this is why I come back to what we've learned along the way is don't try this on your own. Because people love to, you know, we're blessed to live in a time when technology is so, you know, we can pick up a smartphone and look something up right now. But how many of us know that just because it's on the internet, or I like to say it the other way around, well, it's on the internet, it must be true, right?
Right. And sometimes it isn't, right?
Right. And in fact, what you often get is a spin. Like if you've ever looked up, for example, a legal question, you're going to get all this stuff, but the question is, does it apply to the law in Florida and all this stuff? And you don't, now you're trying to make and sort through information that you really don't have the skill level to ferret
out. It's too much.
Right.
So legal is number one, and number two is?
Number two is financial. And okay. We're not talking about, you know, people talk about financial planning like you have to save for your retirement, but there's a whole other side. It's called retirement financial, where you're thinking about, when do I take my Social Security? If I take it too early, am I going to hurt myself down the road? Are there strategies that I should be using to make sure I don't outlive my money? And here again, you know, if you want to spend your entire life on a search engine and try to work it out, maybe. But there's also a lot of experts. Because we have so many seniors in our area, we have really good quality experts who can look at a situation, assess it, and say,
and give you valuable information you need, yeah.
Absolutely. And so it comes back to finding those resources that you can trust. And that's been part of Joe's battle cry since we started helping seniors, is let's work with those people. Yes, they're running a business, but they understand that it's a business about people and families. And it has to be done correctly. It has to be done ethically. It has to be done with the senior's best interest at heart. You and I could probably do a whole other show just talking about elder abuse and exploitation.
That's right, we will.
Yeah.
Right, so number three.
So number three is, if you're going to stay, a lot of people say, I want to live at home. I want to stay at home. I want to age in place. Okay, and you're raising your hand. So the point is, how do we do that safely? Are there things that we can do that makes your property more secure? Can we get rid of trip hazards? Can we put in grab bars? Can we do things that will make it accessible and safe for you as we go along? Technology's never been better. We have things like electronic caregiver and things like that that can help keep you connected if you understand the technology. So staying at home is the third one. The fourth area we talk about is, well, what if you decide that staying at home really doesn't make sense? Maybe the kids have grown up. Maybe you're ready to downsize. It's too much property to keep up with. What are your options that are out there?
Well, taxes and insurance.
Thank you.
Taxes and insurance and homeowners association fees. For some people, it's like $30,000 a year, easy.
Right. And then you say, why am I doing this when they have such a plethora of excellent living options here in Florida? But most of us just think generically, old folks home, right?
Right.
You work with a rehab facility. How many people just say, it's an old folks home? And because we're not
educated. You have to educate them and tell them it's a skilled nursing and rehab facility. Because there's such... Once you say skilled nursing and rehab, then they say, oh, okay, I thought it was a nursing home.
Right.
You know, so you do have to educate people.
Right. Because most of us don't know. And I just go back to my own personal experience with my mother. I never forget this. I love to tell this story. They told me my mom needed occupational therapy. And I looked at them with a straight face and said, she's retired. Because I didn't understand the term, right? And I don't think I'm stupid. I just didn't have any idea what that meant. And so that's the point. So we've talked about four. So another one is Medicare. So a lot of people, they respond to everything they get in their mailbox, or maybe they see some famous person on TV saying, call this 800 number and we'll check your zip code and maybe you'll get some benefits. We say that could be fine, but you're talking to a call center in, I don't know, Des Moines, Iowa. And so they don't understand the difference.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that growing old is a business. And so I just want to tell our listeners that we're speaking with Mr. Kerry Fink, and he is the executive director of Seniors Helping Seniors right here in Brevard County, Florida. And we're getting a lot of valuable information to help people to age in place or go to a nursing facility or go to an ALF or whatever it is. Just listening.
Thank you.
Keep listening.
So we talked about, you know, understanding to make those correct choices with Medicare and your benefits, because your health and wellness is so important to your quality of life as we get older, right?
And a lot of people don't know that there's so many parts to Medicare. It's not just Medicare A or B, there's C, D.
Yes.
There's equipment and there's medication and there's durable equipment, you know, like things like oxygen and things. People don't know that, and then they're like, oh, I have to pay out of pocket. Well, there is information available, especially with Seniors Helping Seniors, to help people.
You
right?
said it so well, because I, again, like in our own family, my wife's mother literally depended on that Social Security check. That was her only income. And if I don't know how she would have made it had she not lived with us. But here's the point. She hit a donut hole because she had a lot of different prescriptions. And that became a big crisis because how do you manage those things? Well, most of us don't really even know necessarily in advance what a donut hole is. But here again, don't try this on your own. You find a good, trusted Medicare expert who is in this community. They know the difference between Satellite Beach and Barefoot Bay. They're not looking on a map going, you can just go to a doctor here. So that's a whole nother area we talk about. Transportation is another area that's very important in the aging plan. So what happens at the time that somebody can't drive anymore, or maybe it's not safe for them to drive? Are you familiar with the options in our county? Are there ways to get you to and from doctor's appointments? Are there ways to get you working in that direction? There's a whole other area that we talk about, which is getting the help you need at home, or even if you're in an assisted living. There's a lot of great services out there that can meet you wherever you are. And as Joe has talked about, he calls them elements of care, but it's getting the right level of help at the right time so that you can live your best life through as you gain in your years. You know?
Right. Well, bathing, dressing, grooming.
Yes.
A little thing like taking out someone's dentures and putting it in a denture cup with a tablet in there is a big thing for some people. They're used to it. And I often say, you know, like if people spend a day or two in a nursing facility, they would have so much appreciation for brushing their teeth, combing their hair, tying a shoelace, taking someone to the bathroom and cleaning them properly. Yes. Because things you take for granted when you're young, to wake up in the morning, and some people don't even appreciate God's magnificent planet when they wake up, but there's so many things you take for granted. You could drive your car, you could pump your own gas. I remember once an elderly person said to me, they kept sending all these psychiatrists and psychologists in the nursing facility because, quote-unquote, this person is depressed. And the gentleman said, well, you know, nurse, how would you feel if someone took away your credit cards, the key to your front door, the the key to your car, the access to your bank account, and they took away the ability for you to make decisions in your own home. Of course I'm depressed.
Yes.
Nothing can help some. No medication. Medication does help a lot with some people. But the number one way to help our seniors, I think, is through these hands that God gave us.
Yes.
Love and support.
Beautifully said.
Right? And so we have a couple of minutes left, but so your seniors helping seniors is a one-stop shopping is what you're saying.
Yeah. So what we are is a nonprofit, and we run that senior information line 321-473-7770. You can also find out a lot about us at helpingseniorsofbrevard.org, helpingseniorsofbrevard.org, and really encourage you to get to just see what's there. We're free. I mean, we exist because we're a nonprofit, which means
we can. And you do have some great partners as well,
yes.
People that support you. I don't know if you, we have a minute or two left, you could, if you would like to give your sponsors a shout out, feel free.
Yeah, no, we really blessed. There's people who have been with Joe going back to his Alzheimer's days. An example would be Bill Johnson, who's an elder law attorney. He worked with helped Joe get the whole thing going. Dr. Lee Sheldon, who's Solid Bite Dental.
One of our neighbors as well.
Yeah, he's a noted area periodontist, and he's helped Joe every step of the way. There's been a lot of people that have made this possible, and you can make it possible, too. Just visit helpingseniorsofbrevard.org. Learn how you can get involved. We have a fun fundraiser called the Car Raffle. I won't go into all that because we don't have time, but you can find out about it at helpingseniorscarraffle.com.
What date is it this year?
It's October 7th, and we're going to be back at the American Muscle Car Museum.
That's right. And my husband sponsored the segment today for seniors,
helping seniors. Thank you. God bless him.
My, what a great segment. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for our listeners who are tuning in, we will be back next Monday. Ellen should be here again on WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9. 100.7 and worldwide on the web, everywhere in the world, like even Canada. And Danny is, you know, Vietnam. The other day we had a caller. So we're going to sign off. Danny's given me the heads up that our music is going to be starting really soon. For those who are celebrating Memorial Day today, be safe. If you drink, do not drive. And if you're an elderly person, we love you. We're here for you. And check out Seniors Helping Seniors. Thank you for being here, Mr. Kerry Fink.
Thank you.
And thank you, Katrina Shaddox, for calling in and talking about what she does, finding her life with purpose. Danny, take it away.